Thankful again to be here. Appreciate each one of you that are here. Remember a song that was sung last night. You know, I realize that we may never have this exact setting here again this morning. Each one that's here, it seems like year after year something changes. Maybe there are some that have passed off the scene. Those that aren't able to come, but I want to be able to see everyone that's here this morning in heaven. Be able to have this reunion when we get to the other side. Like to write a little something on the board. Someone read what I've written on the board. I've written, follow your heart, live like you want. Seems like a popular message today. Seems like one that the world is eager enough to hear, to receive. But that's not the only thing that I've written. If you can see below it, there's some fine print. And that's not my burden. I don't want to title the message that this morning. I don't want to give the devil any mileage out of what I've written here. The burden that I have this morning is fine print. You ever go and sign a document, or maybe you get a loan for something or apply for something, and maybe you see an advertisement and it has bold letters at the top advertising what it is that you're going to want. The service that you want, or the special, or the bargain that is going to appeal to you. And then you see at the bottom the print that you have to pull up real close to your face to read it. There's fine print attached to it. And you know, many times, and maybe we see it in software, if you've ever installed a program and you see what they call the end-user license agreement. And it's page after page, usually a very fine print. And I dare say many of us, if you ever have to encounter that, scroll right to the bottom and click accept without really knowing what's included in the fine print. You know, if it's something in life like installing a software program, the consequences may be minimal. But in my life, you know, there's fine print to something like this. I'd like to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would bless His Word.
Yes, Lord.
Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Sounds a little bit like what we've written on the board here. Live the way that you want. Live after the sight of your eyes. The things that you see, the things that you want to go after. We hear many times today the saying, it's said often in graduation speeches and other motivational speeches, follow your heart. We sang a song this morning that said, had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. You know, we can do that. The Lord gives every one of us this morning the liberty to make the decisions in our lives that we choose to make. He gives us the liberty to choose the path of life that I want to go down. But we, everyone, need to understand there's some fine print attached. There are some consequences to the decisions that we make in our lives. This scripture goes on to say, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. You know, the enemy is interested in telling half-truths. The enemy is interested in telling part of the truth, in telling a little bit of it, but he's always not willing to fully represent the entire story. You know, the Lord this morning is wanting to present unto us the full story. The Lord wants us to realize, and He's saying this morning, the decision's yours. You can choose the path that you want to choose. I'm not telling you the way that I'm going to force you to go, but I want you to know. I want you to have all the information before you to make the decision. The enemy, we heard a little bit in this meeting already about Eve. Remember whenever the Lord put the tree in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And He said, of all the fruit that's in the garden, of all the other trees you may freely eat. You know, Eve didn't look at that tree out of hunger. It wasn't because she was depraved and hungry and didn't have enough fruit available to her. But there's always something about that I'm not supposed to partake of. That I'm not supposed to go after. That's what the enemy wants to present. And the Lord had a reason for it, I believe. Because the Lord wants every one of us to serve Him from our free will. To serve Him out of a heart because I choose. Lord, I know I have both ways set before me. I know that there's something appealing about this way. But I'm not going in God's way because of a club held over my head or because the church or mom and dad say I have to. But every one of us this morning will come or have come to a place in our lives that we have to choose. That we have to determine the way that I'm going to go in my life and the decisions that I'll make. So the writer here in Ecclesiastes said, "Oh young man, you've got life before you now. It's all open and spread out before you. Go ahead. Choose the way that you want to choose. The decision's yours. It's up to you the way that you want to go and the path that you want to take in your life." But he said, "I want you to know and understand." By the way, that small print at the bottom said, "And you'll lose your soul for eternity." Live like you want. Follow your heart. Follow the things that you want to do and the path that you want to go down. But know this. There's a consequence to it. There's something attached to it. The fine print that the enemy wants to obscure is that there's a cost that you'll pay. But know this, young man, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. There's the fine print attached to it. Do you know the Lord doesn't obscure it way down at the bottom of the document? The Lord doesn't hide it somewhere where you have to dig and dig and maybe you're not going to come across it. Folks, He wants to make available to every one of us. Choose you this day. I said before you, as we've heard also in the meeting, life and death. The decision's yours today. You choose the path that you want to go down. But you know the Lord is interested in us making the decision. But folks, He wants to equip us with all the information that we need to make the right decision. Spoke a little bit the other evening about the tobacco, or morning about the tobacco industry. There was a time in history that the health effects of smoking was not widely known. Was believed to be an acceptable thing to do from a health standpoint. And some studies were published in, I believe, the 50s that said, we believe there's a link to lung cancer, to emphysema, things like this, and smoking or nicotine. That began to get people's alarm raised, wondering about it. So the tobacco industry would try to publish propaganda and advertisements trying to allay people's fears. It's okay. Your doctor approves of this. It's all right to smoke these cigarettes. It's going to be okay. But as they continue to investigate and look into the side effects of it, even as late as the 1990s, there was a testimony and a hearing before Congress where the heads of the tobacco industry were asked to testify, and they said, "Tell us point blank, is nicotine addictive or is it not?" And every one of them said, "No, smoking cigarettes isn't addictive. There's nothing addictive about it." Can you imagine being able, with a straight face and under oath, to say there's nothing addictive about it? As a result of some of those investigations, now if you see a package of cigarettes, hopefully from a long distance, You'll see fine print at the bottom of it. And it'll say something to the effect of Surgeon General's warning. Smoking may be hazardous to your health. Smoking has been proven to cause lung cancer, or something to that effect. You know, the decision is still every individual's. You can still go to the counter and purchase a pack of cigarettes and smoke it. But the idea is, we want to inform you. We want to have the information before you, so that now if you choose to smoke, it's going to be at your own hazard. It's going to be, I had the information and I chose to either ignore it or override it. You know, it's what the Lord wants to make available to us. The decision's yours in life. But I want you to know, He said, I want you to know the consequences. I want to lay it all out before you. I want you to see the fine print of what this is going to cause in your life. There's a song that says, sin will take you further than you wanted to go. Part of it says, so with pleasure and promises, sin took control. Offering so much, promising so much, showing the bright side of it, and yet they found nothing but heartache and sorrow. The Lord had told Adam and Eve, you can eat of the fruit, but know this, that in the day that you do it, here's the effect. Here's the consequence of it. It'll separate you from me. All this that you've known is going to cause a separation. You know, sin today still has the same effect. Sin still brings a spiritual death, a separation from God. The wages of sin, the payment of sin, the fine print of what's attached to the contract. You know, the enemy never hands you a contract and says, here's what I want you to do with your life. Here's what I'm offering you. I'm offering you a good time. I'm offering you pleasure. I'm offering to let you follow the way of your own heart. But before you sign, read this disclosure at the bottom. We'll cause heartache. We'll cause your home to be in trouble. We'll ruin your life. It'll bring you to all these... The enemy doesn't present that. But you know, there's a voice of wisdom. There's still information available to us that shows us this is the way. The wages of sin or death. The enemy likes to turn to the book of Proverbs. Look at a few different passages here in Proverbs. The enemy can't afford to disclose the full picture. Who would sign up for that? Who would sign on the dotted line for anything that showed the full truth? You know, the enemy doesn't operate in the truth. He'll operate in half-truths. He'll operate in part of the truth, but he's going to disclose it. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them, lest the fullness of truth... Oh, the enemy is blinding so many minds today, feeding them a bunch of lies. He executes the bait and switch tactic. I'll offer you one thing, and then once I get you into it, you find something completely different. Proverbs 1 and verse 17 says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. You know, it's a foolish thing to try to bait something just out in open sight. To try to say, it's saying here, you can't go right before the bird and throw the net over it and expose and show just what you're doing. You have to do it undercover. You have to disguise it. You have to put some appeal with it. You know, it's the way the enemy will try to work with every one of us. The enemy, and whatever my weakness and my temptation might be, he's going to make it look attractive. He's going to make it look appealing. The enemy's going to know how to appeal to you and to me. In vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. I saw talking with a couple of the brothers the other evening. Came across a little video clip of a propaganda film from North Korea. North Korea, as you may know, is a communist dictatorship state. Life is very controlled in that state. The access that they have to information, to the internet, to newspapers, the state tells them what they want them to believe. what they want them to understand. And so they published this video and said, "This is what life in America is like." Well, I'm from America, so I thought, let's see what this is about. And it showed lines at a soup kitchen and said, "This is where they get their daily food." Americans every day have to go stand in line and they're given just a meager bowl of soup and that's all they get for the day. It showed two homeless folks sitting on a bench and they had some mass in a bag beside them and it said, "This is where they live. This is where they sleep. And they don't even have the money to bury their friends, so they put them in a bag here and just have them sitting up between them." I thought, does anyone believe this? I live in America, so I know that's not the case. But you know, the enemy is interested in blinding the eyes of those that believe not, in feeding them a lie. And he's feeding so many people today a lie. Here's what it's like to live for God. Let me tell you what it's like to live for the Lord. Oh, you're going to have to give up so much. You don't want to live like that. But you know, it's really just the same thing that this dictatorship was doing. Trying to blind the minds and distort the picture of what the truth really is. Thank the Lord this morning for the glorious light of the gospel. Thank the Lord that is still shining forth, that is still available to every one of us that are of an honest heart. Lord, I want to make the right decision. I've got two paths before me. Lord, I want to know the right way to go. The Lord is still showing that way to us if we'll seek Him. 9th chapter of Proverbs. 17th verse says, "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That one tree that I'm not to partake of the fruit of, the one place that I'm not supposed to go." You know, the enemy, as part of his lies, wants to say, "You're not going to get any enjoyment out of life. You're not going to be able to get any pleasure or any excitement out of life. I live in the kingdom of God, thank the Lord." And I can tell you it's otherwise. I can tell you from first-hand eyewitness experience, that's not the case. That's not what it is. But it's the one promise, the one place that the enemy has available, that the Lord says, "Don't go there. Don't touch that." But it's sweet. There's something that's appealing about it. But the fine print says, "He knoweth not that the dead are there, and that our guests are in the depths of hell." That's the truth designed to save our souls. 7th chapter of Proverbs talks about a simple man. Book of Proverbs, as we read, is written as from a father unto a son, saying to him and conveying the message, "Son, I've learned a few things in life. I've been around a little while. I've seen the end of people's lives. I've lived long enough to see the decisions they made and the path that it took them down. Son, I've got some counsel for you now. I've got some advice for you. I don't want to see you go down the same path." So the warning here, he said, that I looked out of the casement, the 6th verse of the 7th chapter of Proverbs, and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. Goes on to tell the story of how she was lying there in wait, the harlot, and he was just following right along the path, being called, drawn, appealed to. The wise man, or the voice of wisdom, looking on the whole scene. It said in the 22nd verse, 21st, "With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O children, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths." The young man that was simple and void of understanding, he saw what was presented before him that appealed, that draw to the flesh, and he went after it. But he said he didn't understand. He didn't know. He didn't see the fine print of what's attached to it. You're going to pay for it. There are consequences to the decision that you're making. But the Lord and the voice of wisdom, you know that voice is still calling out today. The Scripture talks about the voice of wisdom that crieth out in the concourses, in the chief places of business. It calls out, do you want to do right? Do you want to turn from the wrong path? Do you want to read the fine print, or are you determined to say, I'll accept it, I'll swallow it? Perhaps we've all seen pictures of the Marlboro Man. Some rugged guy was designed to present an image of that brand of tobacco, of hard-working guy, and it was the perception before was that it was a lady's cigarette, and so they wanted to change that perception. Some guy out in the West on his ranch and wearing his hat and all his, you know, his get up, and that was the image that they were trying to portray, a rugged guy. You know, one of them, more than one of them, died of emphysema, lung cancer. They discontinued the ads before they got to that point. They didn't continue to hire the Marlboro Man once he was in his hospital bed. But you know, that's the other side of the picture. That's the other side of the coin that the enemy never wants to show you. He wants to show you the one image, but never show you the fine print. Never show you what's attached to it. One of the men's brother is trying to put out an advertisement. He took video or picture of his brother, the Marlboro Man, that had tubes all connected to him, breathing apparatus, and said, now here's your Marlboro Man. Here's the end of the picture. Oh, if only we could see the end of the picture. If only we were able to. You know, that's what the voice of wisdom is for. That's why the voice of God, the dealing of His Spirit, you don't want to go down that way. You don't want to go down that path. And I say, oh, but it's so appealing. It looks so right to me. Follow your own heart. I hear it in the world today. Folks, there's something that's far safer than our own heart. There's something far safer than the consensus of the world, and it is the Word of God. God's desire for us is to have that. Thy Word, the Scripture says, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. I'd like to look at the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. No doubt we remember the story of Jacob and Esau, and how Esau came in and was willing, because he was hungry, he was willing to sell the most valuable thing that he had. His birthright and the blessing that passed down upon him and his children forever because of it. For a morsel of meat, for a little bowl of beans, perhaps we could say, nothing more. How long is that going to satisfy? How long is that going to fill that longing? For a little while, for just a little bit, for just a moment of satisfaction, a moment of gratification. Yes, so many people are doing the same thing today. And it's really likening it to the decision people are making. The pleasures of sin that it seems so appealing, but yet it gratifies for just a short period of time. Yet he was willing because of that longing. So many people in the passion of the moment, in the heat of lust and of temptation and of desire, throw away their hope of eternal life. Throw away their hope of life for eternity, for a moment of satisfaction here. May the Lord help us that we count the cost this morning. The 11th chapter here, right before it, in the 26th verse, 24th verse beginning, speaking of Moses, and says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses, whenever he was in Pharaoh's house, and had the very best that life could offer, and yet he chose, and looking at that, he came to a place that he counted the cost. What every one of us are doing in our lives, we're looking and we're trying to make a decision. We have the fine print set before us. Choose this day the way that you want to serve. We can choose every one of this morning. Do we want to go the way of the Lord? Do we want to take the way of the cross, or do we want to take the way of the world? The decision that has been presented before men down throughout ages, and yet so few there be that enter in to the narrow gate and the straight way. But you know, we need to have respect this morning under the recompense of reward. Recompense of reward means the just payment of wages that are due. What are the wages of sin again? Wages of sin are death. And the recompense of a life that chooses the way of sin, it's death. It's eternal separation. Choose the way that you want to go. Follow your own heart. But know this, there's death at the end of it. Know this, that you, for all these things that you follow after, you'll be brought into judgment at the end of it all. So Moses, as he looked at it and he weighed it out, I could have the best that life offers, or I could have the blessing of God. I could have His approval upon my life. I could have His blessings upon my life. Go the way of the cross, so to speak, with the people of God. There's affliction. I'm not going to have it like I had it in Pharaoh's palace whenever I'm out in Egypt. But I choose that way. This morning, choose you this day. Every one of us, a decision is set before us. Which way will you choose? The finery of the world, or will you choose the way of the cross? Moses had respect under the recompense of reward. Oh, folks, our value system sometimes is so skewed. If we could weigh it against eternity, if we could weigh the decisions that we make with eternity and the weight of my soul on one side, pile up all the other things, all the other pleasures, all the other satisfaction of sin. Folks, where does your balance tip? How much value this morning do we place upon our souls? For so many are throwing away their hope of eternal life for one morsel of meat. For something that satisfies for such a short time. And yet, that voice of wisdom still calls. Today, if you feel the Spirit dealing with you in this service, in any service, when you go home, whenever you're about to make a decision, you know it's the Lord's mercy saying, I just want you to know, before you make this decision, I just want you to have all the information before you. I just want you to hear the call of my Spirit again. I want you to know that there's a better way. I want to be able somehow, my prayer is, Lord, open blinded eyes today. You know, I can't do it. None of the ministers that are here today can say something persuasively enough, can do something by some technique to work up your emotion or to somehow convince you. It's going to take the Spirit of the Lord. It's going to take His conviction. It's going to take Him revealing to my heart and me counting the cost. Every one of us are going to have to count the cost for myself. But the Lord wants, in order for us to reckon up the cost. How do you count the cost if you don't know what the cost is? How can I make a decision? Whenever I look at a contract, I want at least someone to tell me what's in it. If I'm not going to read the 37 pages, at least tell me what it's going to mean to me. At least tell me what's going to happen to me if I sign here. I don't want in the heat of the moment to have a salesman come along and say it's a great deal. Maybe you've had it happen before. I had an offer one time. It said, you'll get a 3-day, 2-night free vacation, all expense paid vacation, or at least lodging and one meal paid for you to go to Gatlinburg with your family and enjoy it. Wow, how generous. That's so you didn't even know my family, but you want to send me on a vacation. That's kind of you, so sure. I wasn't quite that simple. I knew there was going to be something attached to it. But as I began to talk to him, they said, well, all you have to do, whenever you get there one day, is just come listen to it. Just have a 90-minute conversation with us. I said, all right. 3 days, 2 nights, 90 minutes, I can handle it. Boy, they put the pressure on. And it was trying to sell a timeshare or a lease, and that may be all right for some people, but it certainly wasn't for me just coming out of college and so forth and the place that I was in. But they sounded so persuasive. And they knew that they could afford to offer this vacation because so many people would sign up for it. But you know, there's always a little something attached. They say the devil's in the details. If something seems too good to be true, it is. So read the fine print. Look at what's attached to it. And the Lord, you know, there's fine print to serving the Lord too. But the thing is, it's not so fine. Because the Lord is very open. The Lord is very honest and open in His appeal and His draw to people. You know, the Lord never used bait and switch. The Lord never said, I'll promise you everything you could ever want. By the way, those loaves and the fishes that I fed you, guess what? All you can eat buffet every night. Just follow me. But instead, His appeal sounded something like what we read in the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke 14, 25th verse. And there went great multitudes with Him. And He turned and said unto them, If any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. You know, much of Christianity, so-called today, is departed from the way of Christ. So much of those that would claim the name of Christ approach it by saying, give the world what they want. Appeal to them. Give them a watered-down, a popular gospel. Try to diminish hell. Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about the effects and consequences of sin. Let's just focus on the good part. Let's focus on the joy and the peace and the hope. And God wants you to be happy. Yes, thank the Lord, and He'll make you happy. I can guarantee it. If we pay the price and follow Him. But yes, so many looking at that, looking at a partial picture. Saying, I heard that God wants me to be happy. So I'm going to go and I'm going to run off and have an affair. I'm going to go off while I have another companion living and marry yet again. Because God wants me to be happy. You know, the Lord wants us to read the fine print. The Lord wants us to know as we approach these decisions in our lives, don't make it by emotion. Don't make it because this is the heat of the moment. Don't make it because your friend said it's okay. Don't make it because a church that you're going to said, oh, brother, you'll be all right. You just come on in and pay your tithes and give your money and you'll still be an outstanding member of the church. But may we make every decision weighed by the Word of God. Weighed by His, not by my words. It's not going to be what meets us at the judgment. But every one of us will be weighed by the Word of God. That's what the writing on the wall that Belshazzar saw. He said, you've been weighed and found wanting. You've been weighed against the Word of God. You've been weighed against what His requirements are for you. You know, I believe the Lord is faithful to every one of us. To every soul, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. I believe the opportunity is there, not just for those that know Church of God doctrine, but unto everyone that has a heart that says, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of my own way. Lord, it's not working out for me the way that I thought it would work out. I don't find fulfillment in life. It's like constantly chasing a mirage. I see it over there and I run for it at the expense of my family, the expense of my own life and my own health. I go for it and I get there and there's nothing there. It's evaporated before me. So I run on to the next thing and I never find it. Lord, I'm tired. You know, the Lord's still hearing those cries. The Lord's still hearing those pleas that say, I'm tired. I'm tired of the cost. And for everyone that comes to a place, says, Lord, I don't want to pay the wages of sin anymore. I don't want to pay what the master of this world is extracting from me day after day. There's a song we sing, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Whosoever doth not bear His cross. Folks, this is Jesus' words. This was the appeal that Jesus put forth to the multitude that was before Him. He didn't try to misrepresent truth. He preached it to them. He set before them life and death. Choose the way that you want to go. He said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, in another place, one man said, after eating all that he needed of fish and bread, said, Master, I want to follow you. He said, the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't even have where to lay his head. You don't know what you're asking for. You know, the Lord wasn't discouraging him. But I want to set before you the full picture. I want you to know, as we heard earlier, it's not a bed of roses. The life of a Christian is not always ease and health and wealth and prosperity, but all the benefits of it. Blessed be the Lord which daily loadeth us with benefits. For which of you, he says, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Count the cost this morning. Every one of us are building something in our lives. Do you want to follow the Lord? Pay the cost. Go all the way. Don't go halfway. Don't try to straddle the fence. Don't try to do it in name only. The requirements of living for the Lord. Folks, you got to go all the way. You got to be willing to do it God's way and not your own way. And Jesus, in presenting it before Him, offering eternal life, says, My peace I give with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. He said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end. Whenever you see all the things coming to pass about you in the world that cause men's hearts to fail for fear, you don't have to, because I'm with you. And you can lift up your eyes because your redemption draweth nigh. Folks, what's your peace worth? Wasn't it Elvis or one of them that said, I'd give, I don't remember the number, half of my fortune or whatever it was to have a moment of peace. At that moment, began to realize there's something that money can't buy. There's something that this world can't afford to us. But folks, the Lord has it. The Lord can offer it and make it available to us in abundance. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Folks, that's the life that He has for us. I can assure you this morning, if you're willing to go this way, the way of life, and you're willing to follow the Lord, you'll never regret it. But the wages of sin, there will come a time that I have to pay the tax. There will come a time that the fine print that I said, all that doesn't matter, except sign on the dotted line. There will come a time that I reckon with that. There will come a time that maybe I'll try to say, but I didn't know. And He said, it was written right here. It was available for you. I tried to tell you. I tried to deal with you as you were making that decision. I tried to talk to your heart. And you made the decision. You made the decision with all the information available to you to say, I choose the other way. You know, that's really the only thing that'll take us to hell. Because a loving God is doing everything that He can to call after us, to show us a better way. For me to go otherwise, folks say, how could a loving God? Folks, He's doing all that He can. But He still, when you go back to the very beginning, He still put a tree there. Not looking for robotic followers. I want you to follow me because you choose to. I want you to follow me because that's your heart. And you're willing to follow me because you love me. I'm not interested in making you, but I want to tell you. I want to call after you. I want to present to you the full picture that you might be able to make the decision. So this morning I want to encourage you, as I believe it was Joshua did to the children of Israel. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. The way is set before us, and the Lord has set the way of life and the way of death. Many times the children of Israel waffled back and forth between one and the other. Elijah, I believe it was there on Mount Carmel, he said, "How long? How long will you halt between two opinions? How long are you going to be in this place that I don't know which way to go? I feel the pull of the world. I see the appeal of the fruit that's on that tree. Are you willing to cast your lot in with the Lord? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'll bear the reproach of the cross? Lord, I'll be willing to sacrifice to the flesh. I'll be willing to die out to myself. Lord, I'm tired of living my own life in my own way. Tired of doing it my way. Lord, I'm willing to do it your way. You know, I could try in some feeble way to get you to come down here. But if you're not willing to pay the price, it's really not going to do you much good. Until every one of us come to the place for ourselves that I've counted the cost and say, Lord, I don't want to pay the wages of sin. I want to go your way. Let's stand and have a song this morning. And let's consider the cost, the weight of the decisions that we're making in our lives. Amen.